I'm going to lay the foundation for what I'm really doing for the rest of the week. So some of you might hear apologetic conference and you're like, no, thank you. That's that deep theological stuff and I can't understand all that. That's not what we do. Apologetics really is just being able to give an answer for the reason for the hope that lies within you with meekness and fear. But my approach has been to make it so that it's understandable, especially for this younger generation. Because looking around here this morning, can I be honest with you? Thank you. I'm going to be. This is not my demographic. I want your grandchildren. I want your great-grandchildren, okay? So the way that I go after things is just a hair different. Some of you this morning will be like, okay, this guy speaks way too quickly. I'm trying to slow it down for you right now. But we're going after a generation that just thinks different, whether you and I like it or not. They have a different mindset. You know, I tell folks all the time, you know, the reason I speak quickly and come after them the way that I do is because this generation, scientific research shows this, they have a 2.2 second attention span. And you think I'm joking. I am not. That's what the scientific research shows. And by the way, that's less than a goldfish. A goldfish has scientifically been proven to have a 3 second attention span. So I want you to imagine with me this morning, you mature generation, Carl Kirby gets up in front of the younger generation. Today we're done. I'm not going to get to the third word, right? And they're going to write me off. So that's why I do things the way that I do. That's why we do the things with the debunked. We will never compromise the Word of God. We'll never water down. But you better believe that the way that we will deliver the message, I will get creative. Because this generation needs the Lord Jesus Christ badly. And they are under attack now more than any generation in the past. Satan has not pulled out any stops with this generation. He's coming full tilt. By the way, you know, I walked in this morning, I knew immediately, without your signage out there, I knew immediately that I was in a Baptist church. Do you know why? Notice which rows are blocked off. Front row blocked off. Back row? Nah. You try blocking off a back row in a Baptist church and you're going to have a revolt. So I knew I was in a Baptist church, all right? So this morning, I am here to challenge you, but I'm also wanting you to see what I'm going to do with your young folks in this Christian school, which is vitally important. I pray that you are supporting this school because they need it now more than ever. We need more Christian schools teaching a generation how to apply their faith in this world that's coming after them. So let's go after this thing this morning. I want to challenge a generation to become bold. So becoming bold, how do we do it? You know, one of the great things that I get to do in ministry is I travel a lot. This year, not so much. Last year, I was on the road 236 days. By the way, I was reminded yesterday when I came in here by Pastor Parker. He said, yeah, you were here before. Anybody remember the last time I was here? Yeah, that's why I'm back. It only took 14 years for you guys to forget how bad I was the first time to let me come back. Yeah, 14 years ago, and I was like, gosh, I don't remember. I travel so much, I don't remember being with y'all, but I am praising God that you let me come back. But one of the neat places that I got to go to in ministry a few years ago was Molokai, Hawaii. You ever heard of it? You think I was there on vacation? No, I was there on ministry, but I'm gonna admit it was really nice ministry. It was a lot of fun, and I spoke at Molokai Baptist Church, and it was very interesting. The worship team was setting up, and I'd set everything up. So I walked out the front door of Molokai Baptist Church, and I saw this, and I had to take a picture of it. So let me share it with you. Outside the door of Molokai Baptist Church, my assistant and her husband and my wife were with me, and I went back in. I showed them this picture. And I said, take a look at this. And my assistant immediately, I mean, just boom, she looks at the picture and says, what a great picture of the cross. Oh, I didn't see the cross when I took the picture. My focus had been on the rainbow. Now, why would I show that to you this morning? Because there's a point. And here's my point. Sometimes things can be right there in front of us, and we'll miss it. That same year, I got to go to Saskatoon, Canada. Have you ever heard of Saskatoon, Canada? I had never heard of Saskatoon, Canada. But when I got there, it was really amazing ministry. I had just a wonderful time. The people were so sweet. But when I got back, I'm watching the news one night, and there's a police car chase in Saskatoon, Canada on the news. Do you guys remember seeing that? It was big news. You don't remember seeing it. Okay. I got a video of it. I got to show this to you. The police car chase, Saskatoon, Canada. You guys remember seeing that on the news? No? Well, it's not a police car chase in Saskatoon, Canada. It's actually a Canadian Midas tire commercial. Now, why did I show that to you? Thank you again for asking. That's a good question. Because there's a purpose. Think about this. Police officers' job is straightforward, protect and serve. That's an easy day at the office. The bad guy's stuck 6 foot in front of you. All you gotta do is walk up and you're under arrest. He didn't do it. He got out and he pushed his car. Guys, here's my 2 points this morning. Number one, things can be right there in front of us and we'll miss them. Number two, things can be really quite simple and we make them more difficult. And I'm going to suggest to you that that's what I see going on in the church many times when it comes to this issue of becoming bold for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's start off in James 1:5. James 1:5 tells us that if you lack wisdom, what are you supposed to do? Okay, this is a question, and questions require responses. If you lack God, lack wisdom, what are you supposed to do? Ask who? If you want to understand how America, the most quote-unquote Christian nation on the planet, with over 400,000 churches across our nation, can be where it is today, this is a key. Who are you asking when you lack wisdom? Who is the church, people sitting in church pews, asking when they lack wisdom? And if we're honest, most of us are not asking God. We're asking somebody else. And if you don't believe me, go to your local Christian bookstore. Now, I apologize. Somebody in here may own the local Christian bookstore and you think I'm attacking you. I am not attacking you. I'm just making an illustration here. If you want to see who we're truly asking when we lack wisdom, go and look at the top sellers in a Christian bookstore. We are turning to man and not God. Why are we not turning to God? Why are we not asking God when we lack wisdom? I'm going to suggest to you it's in that very next verse because it says nothing wavering. Asking God? No, because nothing wavering. When Satan started using the tool of doubt, which he did at the very beginning, all the way back in Genesis, he knew it would be effective. And it has been effective for a long time now. Because hear me, please. If I get you to doubt the first chapter and the first book, why should you trust any of the others? I put it like this. If you can't trust Genesis, how in the world could you trust John? Everything, because people tell me all the time, give them the book of John. We go out on the street, we do street evangelism, give them the book of John. Why should I give anybody the book of John if the book of Genesis isn't true? Everything that's in, the doctrines that are in John are predicated on the history that's in Genesis. Satan has been very smart. Let me get you to doubt any section, and I own you. So that's where the battle is. And watch what happens. When you start doubting, verse 8 tells us that a double-minded man becomes unstable in all of his ways. And I'm going to suggest to you to get 400,000 churches across this nation and us be as invisible as we are in the culture. We have many sitting in church pews that are double-minded. They're trying to put one foot on the world's wisdom and one foot on the Word of God, and those two foundations are not the same. And if a Christian isn't willing to put both feet firmly on the Word of God, why should the lost want anything to do with us? They see us when we tap dance. They see us when we make excuses. They see us when we say, God, I know what you wrote, but let me tell you what you meant, because you didn't quite understand science. You see, this is how important apologetics is. Because apologetics isn't just about arguing. Apologetics is about application of our faith. And if the Word of God is true and trustworthy, what we see in the Word should be consistent with what we see in the world around us. Teaching a generation how to apply what they read here out there. That's what it's all about. And that's what I'm going to endeavor to do with the young folks the next few days that I get with them. And you as well that come back in the evenings. I pray that you would come back. But you see, doubt, we have to understand, is the tool that Satan has used, and it's a very effective tool. Now, one of the talks that I'm going to do with the young people, I figured I would do it for you this morning, but I will do it for you in 4 minutes. I'm going to do it with them for in about an hour. Would you like to see an hour talk in 4 minutes? Anybody? Oh, three people. Very exciting. Would you like to see it? Okay. One of the talks that I'm going to do with this younger generation is about the fossil record. Carl, everybody knows fossils prove evolution. So here's the approach that we do. This is just so that you guys get a taste of how I'm going to come after this younger generation. They've been taught to think like the world. Many times, tonight what we're going to deal with is how many hours does the TV have them? How many hours do video games have them? How many hours do all these things have them? And if we're going to overcome that, ooh, you better be ready to deal with things in a different way. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight and how we overcome the voices that are coming after this generation. But this is the brand new debunked. I was so blessed. Thank you, sir, for talking about using the debunked. This is brand spanking new. We just released this last week, okay? And it's dealing with that claim that the fossils prove evolution. So, mature generation, I have tried to slow down, but I can't slow the debunked videos down. Remember, they're geared for the 2.2 second attention span gang. Animated, fast-paced. So put your seatbelt on because now I'm going to pick up the pace and we're going to address the claim that the fossils prove evolution. Here we go.
We've unearthed millions of fossils around the world, so with all this evidence, so to speak, it's clear that the fossil record proves evolution, right? Well, actually, no. Didn't when Darwin was alive, and hasn't since he's been gone. In fact, Chucky D himself knew this when he wrote the following. Geology assuredly does not reveal any such finely graduated organic chain, and this, perhaps, is the most obvious and gravest objection which can be urged against my theory. The explanation lies, as I believe, in the extreme imperfection of the geological record. Okay, but surely after all the time since Darwin, digging and discovering fossil after fossil, we have a more perfect geological record that supports evolution, right? Not even close, bud. Listen to how two renowned evolutionary biologists summarize the truth. Instead of finding the slow, smooth, and progressive changes, they saw in the fossil record rapid bursts of change, new species appearing seemingly out of nowhere and then remaining unchanged for millions of years, patterns hauntingly reminiscent of creation. The fossil record doesn't show gradual change, and every paleontologist has known that ever since Cuvier, or however you pronounce that. Okay, I could go on and on, but there's always going to be opposing views because on both sides of the debate, the same evidence is interpreted through different worldviews. You got to remember that, people. Facts don't say anything. People say things based on their interpretation of facts influenced by their worldview. But that's a whole other subject, and I don't want to get into it right now. Instead, hey, let's have a little fun and take a look at some popular secular articles and charts on the fossil record and see if we can learn to separate facts from interpretation of facts by asking a few simple questions. Question one, did the artiste take any artistic license with what I'm looking at here? Check this out because this happens all the time. Look, isn't that sweet? So cute and fluffy. Okay, why do you think the artist made these creatures appear more human-like by throwing in an affectionate smile and depicting them hanging out like a human family going to a picnic or something? Why did he draw them walking upright? Why make the shapes and colors of their eyes more human than ape? Is any of it based on actual fossil evidence? Of course not. But if you want the story of evolution to appear more convincing, you just might fill in missing gaps with your presuppositional imagination. Just saying. Question two, is the attention-grabbing headline or title supported by actual facts? For instance, take a look at this popular book called Why Evolution is True. We don't even have to go any further than the jacket on this one, because on it you got a dino evolving into a bird in three simple steps. There you go. But then, on the inside, this is written, and I kid you not. The jacket depicts a chronological sequence of fossils showing the evolution of birds. We do not know whether the actual line of descent included, now wait for it, the first three. Say what now? Doesn't that mean these three shouldn't be on the cover then? Which means all you got is a modern bird, right? No evolution, just a bird. Talk about worldview filling in gaps. On to question three. What do the graphics on evolutionary charts indicate? I mean, they sure do look convincing. For instance, on this one from the dinosaur book, you got solid red columns and white columns showing gradual progression over time. But let's read the almost imperceptible two-point font over here. It reads, tinted areas indicate solid fossil evidence, which means the white areas represent no solid fossil evidence, right? Okay, then take them away. Uh-oh, looks like patterns hauntingly reminiscent of creation, I'd say, right from their own charts. And the same thing goes for the dotted lines on this one. Look at all of them. Just so we're clear, dotted lines indicate zero evidence. Remove them, and what do you get? No transitional forms or evidence of gradual progression. A bat is a bat, a kangaroo is a kangaroo, and a horse is a horse. Of course, unless, of course, the horse is Mr. Ed. Look, people, all I'm saying here is if you got facts, put them in there. If you don't, leave them out. But don't draw downright dubious daft, dare I declare, dunderheaded dotted lines of deliberate deception dogmatically and dastardly doodle to disguise definitive data. No, just admit what you actually see. Overwhelming evidence of living things, according to their kinds, suddenly appearing, which, as a reminder, is exactly what the Bible teaches. Now, I don't even have time to get into TV, movies, and documentaries. All I ask is that you use the same line of questioning when you watch them. And in summary, we agree with Mr. D. Geology assuredly does not reveal any such finely graduated organic chain. Not then, not now, not ever. And that means the whole idea that the fossil record proves evolution has been debunked. Adios.
So, I know what many of you are thinking. That was way too fast. I didn't get that. Okay. How about this? Was it done well enough, honest question, was it done well enough that you would watch it again to try to glean a little bit more information from it? Anybody? Anybody? Oh, that's not bad. That's actually pretty good. Was it done well enough that you're having a conversation with somebody and they make a statement like, well, the fossils prove evolution. Everybody knows that. And you say, hey, I got a video here. Can I show it to you? And you'd be willing to show it to them and not be embarrassed. Anybody? Anybody? Well, that's really good too. How about if I give it to you for free? Would you take it? Anybody? Okay. Well, I'm going to give it to you for free. Take out your smartphone. It's okay. I have a special dispensation. I know it's Sunday, but I have a special dispensation. Take your smartphone out. Go to your messaging software. You're going to send a message. That message is going to read, adios, space. Don't write space. Just hit the space bar. Adios, space, F-B-E. And the recipient is 51555. When you send that message, you're going to get an immediate response back that has a, you hit the little link there, and it has a form. You fill that form out, and then you get a link to all of the current debunked videos, and plus in December when we release the debunked with All Roads Lead to God. Oh, really? We're going to address that. In January when we release A Child Inside the Mother's Womb Isn't a Child Debunked, you will get them a week before we release them to the general public. Because we want you to have these. These are free tools that we want you to have, be able to use. And by signing up on there, you become one of our prayer people. Pray for us. We're giving these things away free. I want you to have them. We want you to use them. Now, maybe you don't do that texting thing. Well, then, if you go onto the internet, go to your YouTube channel and go to YouTube/Reasons for Hope. That's the name of the ministry. You can watch them all there or download our app. And that's just go to your app store, look for the blue asterisk, type in Reasons for Hope, and all of them are linked on there. But you will not get the new ones early if you do that. You'll just see the ones that are current. So it's a tool that we want you to have. But this is what we're trying to do. We're trying to go after a generation that doesn't believe that there's a God anymore. And by the way, in the course of a conversation, and you're talking to somebody, and they say, God, well, if there's a God that created everything, then who created God? Have any of you ever been challenged with that one? Anybody? One hand. Oh, two. Good. Good. I'm getting better. Guys, I want you to think about this. This is the entire question that the book that Richard Dawkins wrote, The God Delusion, that's it. That's it. The whole book, this thick, is that question, period. Can we give an answer to it? Guess what? We can. We have a debunked on that issue. If God created everything, then somebody had to make God, we debunk it. But I'm not going to do that for you because I already showed you one debunked and we need to move on. But you can still watch it for free going to the YouTube channel, downloading the app, or doing the 51555 thing. We're going to move on. When somebody challenges me, when we're out on the street, that's why we have the bus out there, by the way. That's a part of our street evangelism. We go, we park that bus, people come up and they're like, what is this? Thanks for asking. And many times it's people that will never talk to you otherwise. Great conversation start. But we get in that conversation and somebody asks me, well, if your God made everything, then who created your God? I'll show them the debunked, or I'll do something like this. Got a question for you. If God created everything, then who created God? Can I show you a video to make you think about it? And this is what I'm doing out on the street. So can I show you a video to kind of explain what I'm talking about? Is that okay? Okay, good. Because somebody challenges me, then I say, well, here, let me show you this video. Take a look.
Tostitos, how'd you think of these Scoops chips?
It was the 1990s. Dips had become extreme. Layers of intense ingredients. It was too much. I was a broken chip, and I needed to change. But how? I wandered the world looking for answers. I looked at stuff. Then it hit me. I changed my shape. Now I'm ready for any dip.
Even this big old dip? Booyah!
Bring it!
Bring it!
Booyah!
Booyah! Booyah!
I wish you could see your faces. Carl, somebody asked you who created God, and you show them a Tostitos commercial? Yes, I do. I absolutely do, for a couple of reasons. But one of them is I want to challenge them to think. And so let me ask you the questions that I then ask them. Is there anybody in here who honestly, genuinely believes that a bag of chips can talk? Anybody? Anybody? Ooh, thank you. Nobody. There's a lot of them out there, trust me, and a lot of them are on college campuses. It's hard to believe, but they're there. Most of you are like, no, that's ridiculous, Carl. Chips can't talk. Okay, is there anybody who honestly, genuinely believes that a chip, just because it doesn't like the way that it looks anymore, can change its shape? Anybody? Nobody. That's ridiculous, really? If it's so ridiculous to think that a chip can change its shape, then why is this not ridiculous?
Over the course of 14 billion years, hydrogen gas transformed itself into mountains, butterflies, the music of Bach, and you and me.
So you see, it's ridiculous to think that a bag of chips can talk or change its shape. But it's science to teach that over the course of 14 billion years, hydrogen gas transformed itself into mountains and butterflies, the music of Bach and you and I. And you fundamentalist hicks, what's wrong with you? Can't you understand? Evolution is a fact because we have gas. Oh, you got that. You see, that guys, it comes down to this battle. Do you understand that Christian and non-Christian, we both have to have something that has existed for all eternity, has no beginning. Both of us have to have that. In the beginning, God, or in the beginning, gas. By the way, it's not gas. We're going to talk about that. One of the talks that I do on, I can't remember if it's Monday or Tuesday night, we're going to talk about how you get something from nothing, and we're going to let the experts talk. By the way, one of the things that I do in my talks when I'm doing the science type stuff is I let them talk. I use the secular charts. I let the secular people talk because we have to teach a generation how to think, not what to think. Let them talk. And I'm not talking cherry picking a sound bite. Let them talk. Let them teach. Then break it down and address the claims. So we will do that. And I want you to see how you get something from nothing according to the evolutionary position. We need to know their position better than them. Because when you do, you are not afraid of it. You teach this generation how to deal with it, it becomes a game. Apologetics is a blast. When you learn how to use the Word of God as your authority and your standard, you say, that's ridiculous, Carl. Well, that's what they're teaching. Oh, by the way, then I'll end with this one. So, if you genuinely think that in the beginning gas can blow up and become everything that we see around us, I got one word for you. One word.
Inconceivable!
Now, the millennials and under get it. You may not. But come on, the Princess Bride. Anybody? Princess Bride? Anybody? Okay, good. A few of you got it. Look, this guy, I loved the inconceivable part. But what I found amazing is I found the guy's baby picture. He looks the same today as when he was a baby. Yes, I am tweaking Jaws. Intentionally so. Let me show you why we do what we do. Because when you get out on the street and you start talking to people, I want you to see, what we run into. This is why we do the bus. It is nothing more than a tool to get conversations going. Take a look at it on your way out. You'll see the bus with the TV in the back playing the videos and that sort of a thing. Take a look at it because this is what we run into. Young man named Cordero, all right? My goal in life is to not do any more of the man on the street type stuff. I want to be the mentor. I want to be the trainer. I want this younger generation picking the ball up and running with it. We just did a 1,300-mile trip from Florida up to Ohio. Every day we stopped in a different church. Bring your people. We'll train you how to go out on the street, how to share your faith, debrief, and then we'd go on to the next place. We traveled. We had 8 people come from 5 different states travel 1,300 miles in the middle of a pandemic. What can go wrong? Nothing. Because even when the things that were going bad happened, God is being glorified through obedience. I got so frustrated. We did this trip because 5 weeks before we did it, we just threw this thing together. I'm watching the news and I'm seeing Satan's not sitting at home. Satan's protesting. He's burning. He's tearing things down. Where are the Christians? Nah, we're going. Let's go. And we got out on the street, and I got to tell you, we had 14 people make a profession of faith, going into Walmart parking lots, going into local parks, going to university, secular universities, 3 of them on a secular university campus, just going out and engaging people in conversation. But this is what you're going to find when you do it. Cordero, the young man that did this interview is a young man named Adam. Adam asked Cordero, Cordero, do you read the Bible? And Cordero said, yes, I do. So this will be a good interview because we have a Bible reader. And then he asked him, okay, Cordero, you read the Bible. How did we get everything that we see? Because there's really ultimately only 4 ways to explain everything that we see on the planet around us. Number 1, God created young earth. Number 2, God created old earth. Number 3, intelligent design. There's something out there. We don't know what it is. Or number 4, naturalistic processes over millions of years. Cordero responded with,
Well, I would definitely say that the Big Bang Theory definitely doesn't cover it to me. As far as what I've learned throughout my lifetime, I just basically go along with the 6 days of creation thing.
Isn't that great? Cordero reads the Bible. Cordero believes God created in 6 days. Isn't that great? Hello? That was horrible. Didn't you hear the hesitancy in the way that he spoke? Think about this. The way I was raised, I just kind of go along with, I believe. Do you genuinely think that that kind of a faith is going to impact this culture out here? The young man that bought that billboard over there, you think that's going to, well, I believe, and I think that's the way I was raised. Do you think that's going to have an impact on that? No, it's not. This generation is under attack. Satan knows better how to destroy faith than any time in the past. And if you're going to go out there with, I think, I believe, you're done. 50 to 88% of the younger generation raised in the church, Christian homes, many Christian schools, are gone by the time they're age 18. I don't say this with any type of joy. I don't say this as any type of an attack. I'm telling you, after 236 days on the road last year and 190 to 200 for the last 9 years on the road, many times going and dealing with youth in camps and schools, this is what we're faced with, a generation that doesn't know anything truly about their faith. They can regurgitate something that they've heard, but they don't own it. They've not been taught how to apply their faith. And that faith is easy to destroy. Watch. All right, Cordero. Do you believe the Bible contains mistakes or errors? This is rubber meets the road.
I'd say
there's confidence.
There are definitely some things that I read that seem kind of shaky to me, yeah.
We're done. The minute Genesis 1, Exodus 1, you name the book 1, becomes shaky, then why is any of the rest of it trustworthy? Satan has been very smart. Cordero, how'd we get all the different colored people if we all go back to one man and one woman? You don't think this is an important issue? Hello. Do you understand that God has the answer to this issue that's destroying our country right now, and only God has this answer? How'd we get all those different colored people? How'd we get all the different races? How'd we get red people, yellow people, blue people, green people? How'd we get that, Cordero, if God's word is true?
That, I honestly don't know.
We need to know. We need to be able to give an answer on why we believe what we say we believe. When God said we all go back to one man and God said we all go back to one woman, he meant it. Can we teach a generation how to explain the differences that we see? Yes. Are we? How about this? How about this? Cordero, science has proven the earth is millions of years old. Everybody knows that. But when you read the Bible, it's really hard to put those long ages in the Bible. So if the Bible is correct, how do you explain a fossil that's 100, 200, 300 million years old? Because a fossil is a dead thing. Let me make it simple for you. Let me reword it, Christian. Fill in the blank. The wages of sin is what? Where'd they dig you fundamentalist hicks up from? You're kidding me, right? You can't believe the wages of sin is death, because if you do, I'll take you down to your local museum. I'll show you a fossil. A fossil is 100, 200, 300 million years old. A fossil is a dead thing. That predates long before Adam ever came onto the scene. So don't tell me the wages of sin is death when I can show you scientific proof that dead things existed long before Adam. Do I believe that? No. But is that what this generation is getting jammed down their throat? Yes. How do they deal with it? That's why we deal with the fossil record. That's why we deal with human evolution. We will be with the kids this week. And by the way, you need to be able to deal with it as well. Because quite frankly, it's the parents' job to teach these children how to apply their faith. This school should be doing nothing more than reinforcing what you, parent, are supposed to be doing. And I don't say that to be mean. I just have to be honest with you. This generation is under attack. And it's going to take the body of Christ, parents doing what they're called to do, and then the church and the schools working together to prepare this generation. How do you deal with it, Cordero?
On that, it's really hard to say. Like I'm saying, like my personal opinion, just from the way I was raised, I go along with the biblical definitions of most things, but I guess I really couldn't answer that question.
I am not trying to mock Cordero. My heart breaks because this is just a representative of what I see in the church today. I believe. It's the way I was raised. And then they go off to college, and within 6 months, 50 to 88% of them gone. Carl, lighten up, dude. Sunday morning. We came in here to get rah-rah, cheered up. Okay, let's deal with an easy question. Cordero, how'd they fit two of every seven of some 10 billion species of animals on a wooden boat? How'd they fit all those animals on a boat? Come on.
Once again, sorry if this doesn't help much, but no clue.
I want you to have a clue. But here's the way that I deal with this younger generation. This is what I will do with them this week. We have to teach them application. We have to teach them the power of worldview and the impact that it's having. Here's my simple illustration for you. Very easy question. How do they get the balls to roll uphill? I'm a nice guy, so I'm going to help you. There's no reverse photography. There's no string. There's no air blowing them uphill. There's no magnets. How do they get the balls to roll uphill? And the one thing that I'm going to do with this generation is challenge them to think. And one of the first things that we have to do is we have to question the question. When somebody asks me a question, I don't just let that, I'm in trouble. No, question the question. And what I mean by that is, are the balls rolling uphill? That is a very good question. And it depends on your perspective. Christian and non-Christian, hear me. Do we have the same stars? Yes, okay. Christian and non-Christian, do we have the same rocks? Do we have the same people? Why do we have so many different explanations about the exact same evidence then? Has nothing to do with evidence. It has everything to do with your worldview, bias, presupposition. Call it whatever you want. Let's take a look at the exact same evidence, but from a different perspective, and I'll ask you the question again. How do they get the balls to roll uphill? And the answer is, they don't. But when you were looking at it from that other perspective, did it not look like they were rolling uphill? This is the key to understanding how you can get to where we are today. This is why tonight we're going to talk about whose voice are we listening to. We have all these voices coming after us, teaching us to think a specific way. Think about a young person, 80 to 85. Why is this Christian school so important? 80 to 85% of the Christian homes send their children to government schools to be trained for 900 hours a year to think like the world, and then we wonder why they go to the world. Carl, you're really meddling now. You don't understand. I can't afford to put my child in private school. I'm not attacking you. Look, where you educate your child is between you and the Lord. But you better understand that wherever they are being educated, there's a message that's coming after them. They are being trained to think a very specific way. And as a parent, you need to be engaged in with them, even if it's here in the Christian school. You still need to be engaged with them. But the world has it for 900 hours a year in just the school. Tonight we'll talk about the other things, where they teach them a history of astronomy, biology, geology, anthropology, chemistry that totally undermines the Word of God. And then we wonder why they walk away. They've not been taught how to apply their faith in the real world. They've been getting taught this over here, and then we're doing what over here? Let me address it for you like this. The world gives them a history of astronomy, Big Bang, billions of years, hydrogen gas transformed itself. Does the Bible give us a history of astronomy? And the answer is yes, it does. Absolutely. God said, which needs to become the rallying cry of every Christian, God said he created the earth on day one. God said he created the sun, moon, and stars on day four. Does that deal with astronomy? Yes, it does. Now, what I see in the world, is it consistent with what I read in the Word? Yes, it is. Let me give you the simple illustration. Do you know how many observable stars there are in the sky? I'm not talking total number of stars. That's a big number. I'm talking about just the ones we can see using the greatest technology that we have. It's a big number. It's a one followed by 22 zeros. Who invented counting that high? I mean, think about it, man. We go back in the day and, hey, Carl, you need to invent counting. Oh, okay. 5, 10, 15, 20. Don't need any numbers bigger than 20. That's it. That's all the fingers and toes I got, man. How many people here today? 20. A 7 followed by 22 zeros? Do you know how big that number is? That number is greater than every grain of sand on every beach and desert on our planet. There is no known mechanism to make a single star from naturalistic processes. I'll give you all the gas you want. Go blow it up. And by the way, where'd the gas come from? Oh, no. We're not going there. I'll give you the gas. Go blow it up. You're going to make a star? No. You'll make a mess. There's 70 sextillion observable stars, and you are not impressed. This is a tough audience. You shouldn't be, because it's actually 10 times more stars than grains of sand. And by the way, the God that spoke them into existence from nothing, oh, the total number of stars, including the ones we can't see, secular quote here, some people think it is what? Please read that last word for me. What? You know, I almost went charismatic when I read that. I did. I almost raised a hand and said, amen. And the way I was raised, that's charismatic. Because I was raised in a church, you do not blink but every 3.2 seconds. And you look. That was a 2.2 second. You can't do that, okay? Forget about it. Amen. You know why? It takes an infinite God to create an infinite number of stars, to speak them into existence from nothing. And by the way, he knows them all by name. And he says that he knows us even more intimately. And he still loves us in spite of who we are. Does the Bible deal with biology? Yes, it does. Absolutely, it does. Man says, give it enough time, right? Circumstances, ape-like creature, evolved into the black folks in Africa. Some of those black folks ate fish, spurred brain development. They got smart. Some of them moved north and turned white. And you wonder why we have such a problem in our country? Do you understand that evolution is like the most racist philosophy ever? What did God say? One man, one woman. What does evolution teach? Eating fish, getting smart, moving north. Some are more highly... Go read the original title of Charles Darwin's book. You want to see racism in its finest? Go read the full title of Origin of Species. That's not the full title. Go read some of his comments. We're tearing down statues because these people were racist, and we are building up statues to one of the biggest racists that ever lived. And he's being celebrated in the school systems. Guys, we have to teach a generation to think. What did God say? Exactly what I told you. What I see in the world around me, is it consistent with God's word or not? Well, guess what? They studied the Y chromosome, right? The Y chromosome is passed from the father to the child. They studied every culture that they could on this planet, and they now know beyond a shadow of a doubt. I don't care what you look like on the outside. Every one of us goes back to one man. I could have saved a lot of time and money on that research. Mitochondrial DNA passed from the mother to the child. They studied all the cultures, and guess what? Every person on this planet goes back to one woman. I could have saved time and money on that research as well, because God said from the very beginning, first man, Adam. God said from the very beginning, Eve was called Eve because she is mother of all living. By the way, what do we see in the world around us? Different colored people? I don't have time to deal with it. I can. You want to get with me? Glad to do it. But we're running right now. This I found very interesting. I had to find this conservative source, Huffington Post, because this is, you're going to love this, okay? Get it? Huffington, conservative. Come on, man. They've studied every culture on the planet. We now know we go back to one man and one woman, and wait for it. You're never going to believe this. We go back to one man and one woman, and they lived at the same time. Duh. Hello? It's not going to work any other way. I'm just saying, man. I need science to tell me that? No, God told me that long ago. What about geology? Come dig dinosaur bones with me sometime. Guys, go down the Colorado River. I used to lead those trips. When you go down and you see folding and strata, that screams that God did what he said, the way that he said that he did it. The rocks cry out. Get a field trip for some of your Christian school kids. I want the good kids. I don't want the hanger on. I want the leaders. Bring them out to dig dinosaur bones with us. Guys, I'm telling you right now, when you get your hands in a rock and you see what you see and you look at the rocks and it screams that God did this. But you see, here's the problem. We live in a time where we have a generation that they've been taught this history of astronomy, biology, geology, anthropology, so all the sources we're going to talk about tonight, but many times in the church, what we're falling back on is we want that Christian morality. Yes, Christian, we have morals. We don't smoke, we don't drink, we don't chew, we don't date girls that do, we don't like that long hair stuff, we don't like that pierced stuff, and you better not show up with those tats. Thank you very much. But don't you understand something? The Christian morality is based in the Christian history. If the Christian history isn't true, why is the Christian morality true? So the world is teaching this generation a different history, and we want to put the Christian morality on top of that, and it won't work. And forget about eternity. If the Christian history is not true, here's my point to you. This is why I so appreciate the fact that you have a Christian school that's teaching this generation a biblical worldview. Because you see, for the most part, we have a generation that's being taught quote-unquote facts of astronomy, biology, geology, anthropology, chemistry. And we in the church have been relegated to teaching our little fairy tales and our fables. Let me tell you the Bible story about this. These are not Bible stories. These are historical accounts from the only one who's always been there, who knows what happened, who told us what happened, who we can trust and we can test. He said he did this. I go to the world that I live in. What I see in the world, is it consistent with that or does it contradict it? But you have to teach a generation how to do that. Where are you going to go? 900 hours a year in a school, 1,064 watching TV, 936 playing video games. Where are you going to go? They got a very focused message. Well, 50 to 88% of them are going to where they think the facts are. Why do I do what I do? Why do I use the secular sources to show them? Because I want them to see that what they're walking away from, and I want them to see what they're walking to. I covet your prayers. I don't think this is a deep, complex subject. I really don't. I think it's actually quite easy to teach a generation how to apply their faith in the real world. Now, why do I do this? Why, when I walk away from the last time I was here, I was with a different ministry. Very successful. 10 years ago, January, when I walked away, I was the number two most requested speaker with a calendar that was booked a year and a half out. January 8th, 2011, I walked away. Why? Because my son came to me and said, "Dad, you're going to be a grandparent. And these are my 5 grandchildren now. And that's my wife." Now, there's a reason why you show grandbaby pictures. You know, because I've said all these hard things and people are like, "That guy's a jerk." And then you show the grandbaby pictures and people, "Ooh, how nice." They forget about the hard stuff. Please don't forget about the hard stuff. But when my son told me that I was going to be a grandparent, my heart flipped because I was like, I see what's going on. And it has changed a lot in just the last 10 years. I see what's going on here. Who's really going to impact my grandchildren? And so I made a commitment to go after that younger generation, because under 30 gang is going to reach this generation a whole lot more than me. So I made a commitment, walked away from big ministry, didn't have anything, and we're still here almost 10 years later by the grace of God. I can show you video after video after video of being out on the street and just talking to people. I can show you all this stuff. You want to see where people are? Come with me. Let's go talk. And I'm telling you right now, there's a generation out there that is begging for hope. It is dark. But you know what I have found? Have any of you ever gone into a cave? Anybody ever gone into a cave? Anybody? Anybody? Have they ever turned the lights off when you're in that cave so you can see how dark it is? Anybody? Is that dark or what? Well, guess what? You're in that cave, they turn the lights off, and all you have is this little pin light. You rule the world, baby. The darker it gets, the brighter we should be shining. We should not be able to blend in anymore. Monday through Saturday, we should not be able to blend in with a culture that has gone as dark as it is. The darker it gets, the brighter we should shine. I can tell you a story about every one of them. I can tell you a story about all the people that we met on the road, 1,300 miles, real people, real conversations. And then I read stats that tell me that 90% of the people raised in church have never shared their faith with a lost person. We took youth pastors out on the street, never had shared their faith with another person. Fathers never shared their faith with another person, had their kids with them. One young, oh my gosh, I wish I could tell you the stories. But I hope you hear my heart here. I am not just here for arguing and answers and all that sort of a thing. That is not what apologetics is to me. Apologetics is extremely important because we have a generation that doesn't trust this anymore. To me, apologetics is nothing more than showing them that they can trust this book, because now if I can trust it where he said that he did this, then I can also trust it where he said that he died on a cross for me while I was rejecting him. Do you understand that each and every one of us sitting in this room right now, we need a Savior? His name is Jesus Christ, and he died on a cross for us while we were spitting on him, while we were driving the nails into his wrist and into his feet. He's loving us enough to die for us. There's not a thing we can do to deserve that. Every one of us should be on our face in the dirt before this holy God. But he comes over, he picks us up, he cleans us off, he puts us in new clothes, puts a ring on our finger, calls us his child. We don't deserve that. But that's how much he loved us. You see, if apologetics doesn't lead to the preaching of Jesus Christ, it's worthless. You will never argue a single person into the kingdom of God. He doesn't call you to do that. He calls you to be able to give an answer with meekness and fear. You see, my goal in life, the only reason I do apologetics, is I want to see this happen. Thank you for letting us come back.
I will live my life according to these beliefs. God does not exist. It's just foolish to think that there is an all-knowing God with a cosmic plan. That an all-powerful God brings purpose to the pain and suffering in the world is a comforting thought. However, it is only wishful thinking. People can do as they please without eternal consequences. The idea that I am deserving of hell because of sin is a lie meant to make me a slave to those in power. The more you have, the happier you will be. Our existence has no grand meaning or purpose. In a world with no God, there is freedom to be who I want to be. But with God, life is an endless cycle of guilt and shame. Without God, everything is fine. It is ridiculous to think I am lost and in need of saving. And that's how I felt before Christ opened my eyes, changed my heart, and reversed my thinking. I am lost and in need of saving. It is ridiculous to think everything is fine without God. Life is an endless cycle of guilt and shame. But with God, there is freedom to be who I want to be. In a world with no God, our existence has no grand meaning or purpose. The more you have, the happier you will be, is a lie meant to make me a slave to those in power. Because of sin, I am deserving of hell. The idea that people can do as they please without eternal consequences is only wishful thinking. It is a comforting thought, however, that an all-powerful God brings purpose to the pain and suffering in the world, that there is an all-knowing God with a cosmic plan. It's foolish to think God does not exist. I will live my life according to these beliefs.